Word of God to Romans chapter 6. One of my favorite ministries that I've ever been involved in is a ministry with college students. I've had several occasions to be involved in college ministry. I've had several occasions to go and speak at camps and retreats where college students are there, college age students. And one of the things that I love about it is their hearts are like sponges. Their hearts are just, they've gotten past the junior high and the high school stuff. And now they're open to what the world can show them. They're open to what the world can teach them. And I always just saw that as an amazing opportunity to, because I became a Christian after high school, and I always saw that as an amazing opportunity to speak life and truth into the lives of college students that are just, their hearts are like sponges. They're ready to find out what's out there. They're ready to find out what life has to offer. They're ready to move on with life. My son goes to a church called Watermark in Dallas. And I've had the opportunity to listen to the guy that teaches the college students there. And he's a really good teacher. In fact, the 3 points in this sermon come from Jonathan. I present the material different than he does, but the 3 points come from Jonathan at Watermark. 3 biblical points that I want us to look at today, and they fitted right in with what I was looking at in Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. Paul says something that's absolutely critical if you want to have victory in the Christian life. What he says in verses 11 through 14, it's critical that you get this. If you literally want to have victory in the Christian life. And so I've put this passage in your notes for you this morning. And I've also bolded 4 words that we're going to take a look at. 4 words that are super important. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to go away from today and I want you to read that passage over and over and over. That's what I do before I preach. I read a passage over and over and over and over again before I ever read a commentary. Before I ever look at what someone else may be thinking or someone else may be saying about this passage. And these 4 words, as I just was reading it over and over again, before I ever even heard the message from Jonathan, these 4 words began to pop out. The word consider, the word reign, the word present or presenting, and the word grace. And these 4 words are literally 4 keys to victory in the Christian life. So let's look at verse 11. Paul says, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I want you to underline dead to sin, and then underline the phrase alive to God. Paul says, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And this phrase, even so, means, now that you understand all that we've just talked about, now that you understand all that we've just discussed in verses 1 through 10, consider yourselves dead to sin. And this, I believe, is one of the major failures in the Christian life, is that we don't ever go there. We acknowledge those words, but we do not understand what it means to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. I had this discussion with a man yesterday. And why he's struggling so bad and failing so bad in the Christian life. And we began to talk about that. And he said to me, "You know what? I'm a double-minded man, aren't I?" And I said, "Yes, sir, and therefore you're unstable in all your ways." So we need to understand what it means to consider ourselves. What does that mean? What does it look like to consider yourself to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus? Because I could tell as I was talking to this man who's a Christian, I could tell that he still considers himself much alive to sin. That sin is still the ruling power in some areas of his life. And so it's super important that we understand that we have a new identity in Jesus Christ. And Paul, in this verse right now, is saying, act like it. Live like it. Own it. Embrace it. Well, how do I know if I'm really considering myself dead to sin? How do I know if I'm truly embracing my new identity in Jesus Christ? Because when you're truly dead to something, you don't keep going back to it. When you're truly dead to something, you don't continue to go back to it over and over and over again on a regular basis. You see, when you're truly dead to something, you may stumble over it. You may stumble across it every now and then, but you're not feeding it anymore. You're not going there and feeding it on a regular basis anymore. If you're still feeding it, then it's still alive and well in your heart. And so Paul said back in verse 2, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? And he says here in verse 11, even so, consider yourselves. And we'll see what this word means here in a minute. It means don't just acknowledge it, but it means take all the evidence, calculate up all the evidence, and then own it. Embrace it. Live in it. In other words, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're given a new nature. The Bible says you're made alive in Christ. Therefore, Paul says it's time to own it. It's time to live like it. Put another way, it's time to make your experience the same as your position. You are now a child of God. You have been saved and bought. You've been freed and saved, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are now a child of the King of the universe. You're not a slave anymore if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ. So start living like you've been set free. It's time to make your experience conform to your position as a child of God. As a free man, as a free woman. So how do we do that, Chris? I mean, that sounds a lot easier said than done. How do we pull that off? I'm glad you asked, because Paul tells us in the next few verses. Look at verse 12 and 13. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin, as though you are an instrument of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. What does he mean, do not let sin reign? He means do not let sin continue to be the ruling power in your life. Because if you do, if you keep presenting yourself to sin as though you are still an instrument of unrighteousness, you will obey its lust. So count yourself dead to sin and alive in Christ Jesus. And that brings us back to the sermon titled, Guarding Your Heart. The bottom line is, all of us tend to follow our hearts. All of us do that. And that could be a good thing, or it could be a bad thing, depending on the condition of your heart. And the culture that we live in now, in 2017, places a huge emphasis on following your heart. Our culture says, follow your feelings, and that's where you will find, listen to me, this is being preached on college campuses across America. Follow your feelings, and that's where you will find truth for you. Follow your feelings, and that's where you will find truth for you. Recently, some folks in our culture, and let me just say this before I even go there. Please understand, I don't take this lightly. I don't think it's cute. I don't think it's funny, and I am not in any way making fun of anybody. This breaks my heart. This breaks my heart. But recently, some in our culture have decided that they desire to be a different sex. In fact, they pay enormous amounts of money to make all these changes to their body so that they can become whatever they desire. Why are they doing this? They are following their hearts. They are following the advice that this world gives them. Follow your feelings, follow your heart, and that's your truth. I remember when Jake was filling out paperwork for Texas Tech. He had 7 choices. My kids always say, Dad, you say 7, but you hold up 1. Why do you do that? He had 7 choices. I don't know why I do that. Sometimes I say 4 and I hold up 3. But anyway, they love telling me that. He had 7 choices to choose from his gender. You see, at Texas Tech, you don't put down what you are. At Texas Tech, you put down what you want to be. And Jake could choose from female, male, transgender female, transgender male, gender queer. Had to look that one up. That's a combination of both genders. Gender non-conforming. I refuse to be a man. Or I refuse to be a woman. Or not listed, please specify. In other words, make up whatever you desire. There is no right or wrong for you anymore. As far as Texas Tech is concerned, there is no right or wrong answer anymore. Just fill in the blank however you feel like it. Folks, that's our culture. That's what our culture preaches and teaches. You see it on TV every night. And what are they doing? They are allowing each student to see themselves however they feel like seeing themselves, or however they choose to see themselves. They're allowing each student to follow his or her heart because our culture says that's their reality. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, verses 25 and 26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. But that's what we do in 2017. We base our decisions on how we feel, and truth be told, to a point, we all do it. Truth be told, to a point, we all do it. Truth be told, some of the biggest mistakes I've ever made, some of the biggest regrets I have in my life, and some of the biggest mistakes you've made, and some of the biggest regrets that you have in your life are because you followed your feelings. Think back to your biggest regrets in life. What got you there? Your feelings. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, But he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. Which takes us back to our original question. How do I keep from allowing sin to continue to reign? How do I keep from allowing sin to continue to rule in my heart so that I obey its lust? Because if my heart is not right, then following my heart can be really bad advice. It can be really, really bad advice. Following my emotions, following my feelings can really send me down the wrong path. The Bible says in Jeremiah, the heart is more deceitful than anything else. It is desperately sick. Who can understand it? But then Paul says something interesting in Romans chapter 6, verse 17. He says, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you have become obedient from the heart. So which is it, Chris? Can I trust my heart or not? Yes, you can. When you're walking in the Spirit and in the Word of God. But you need to understand that your new heart is still subject to perversion according to what it's involved in. Christian, your new heart is still subject to corruption according to what you are engaging it in. And so it's important for us to understand this morning that the heart is the most fertile garden on the planet. There's no other soil that will grow anything, anytime when planted, but the heart will. It's the most fertile soil there is on planet Earth. Whatever you plant there will take root and it will grow. So how do you plant things in your heart? Through your mind. Through what you look at with your eyes. Through what you listen to with your ears. To what you read and put in your mind. And then your heart will grow according to the actions that you have in your life, according to what you are engaging it in, where you go and who you go with. Therefore, Paul says in Romans 6, 12 through 13, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body, your mind, your heart, your ears, your eyes, to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and the members of your body as instruments of righteousness to God. What is Paul saying? If you keep presenting your heart to sin, the sin of this world, you need to understand it will take root and grow, and sin will reign in your life. And out of your perverted heart will come perverted thoughts, which will lead to perverted attitudes, which in turn will lead to perverted feelings, which in time will lead to more perverted and sinful actions. And so whatever you present to your heart will grow. Whatever you involve your heart in, it will take root, it will grow in your heart, and soon your heart, if you're not careful, will begin to crave more and more and more of all the wrong things. And it just says, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me more pornography, feed me. I'm hungry for that. I need more of it. And whether it's wealth, fame, pleasure, pornography, or whatever your focus is, your heart will crave more and more of it. But present to your heart the things of God. Present to your heart the things of righteousness, and out of your heart will flow righteous thoughts, followed by righteous attitudes, followed by righteous feelings, and it'll give way to righteous actions. And these things of God, the Bible says, lead to abundant life. these things to God, the Bible says, actually lead to a healthy life, which leads us to point number one. Never follow an unguarded heart. Never follow an unguarded heart. King Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, and he's got some amazing advice on this subject. In fact, so does his dad, King David, in Psalm 119. I encourage you to read that sometime. Longest chapter in the Bible about not following an unguarded heart and how to keep your heart and your mind headed in the right direction, Psalm 119. But we're going to focus on what Solomon said in Proverbs 4 this morning. There in your notes, Solomon said, "My son," he's talking to his young son, he says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and they are health to all their body." And so Solomon tells his son to focus his mind, to give his attention on what he's about to say. Solomon tells this young man to listen closely, incline his ear on what he's about to tell him. And he asked him to watch for, do not let these words depart from your sight. Watch for with your eyes these godly words of wisdom. Why so much emphasis? Why so much emphasis on what you listen to, what you look at, and what you think about? Solomon says, for they are life to those who find them, and they are health to the body. Now look at verse 23 in Proverbs 4. Then he says this, watch over your heart with all diligence. Watch over your heart with all diligence, because from it, my son, flow the springs of life. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. And so here we have the wisest man who's ever lived that says, guard your heart with all diligence because it will lead you to life. And Solomon says, guard your heart at all cost. Guard what goes into your heart through your mind. Guard what goes into your heart through your eyes. Guard what goes into your heart through your ears. Because whatever goes into your heart will come out. It will come out. It'll come out in the way you talk. It'll come out in your worldview, the way you think about life, the way you think about other people. It'll come out in your attitudes, and it will literally begin to drive and direct your life. And interestingly, some translations say keep your heart, like you would keep something in a refrigerator to keep it from going bad, to keep it from spoiling, meaning that your heart literally can spoil. It can begin to turn sour. And so Solomon says, above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. God says, more than anything else, guard your heart. More than you, and I think about this, college students, their hearts are like sponges and they're wide open to everything the professor says, everything they see on TV, everything they say at the movies. This guy that I was with yesterday said, let's go see, what's that new Tom Cruise movie? The Mummy. I said, forget it. I'm not putting that trash in my life. I'm not going to put that trash in my head so it can take root in my heart. So we went and had pizza. That's a little better. But you have to understand that what goes into your heart can sour your heart. It can slowly, it's a slow fade. It's a slow fade when you choose to give yourself away. But what you put in through your eyes, what you read, what you look at, what you listen to, And where you take yourself and where you hang and the people that you hang out with, it's a slow fade when you begin to give yourself away. But you need to understand it will darken your heart. And it will separate you from the life that God has for you, for this abundant life. Jesus said, listen, I came to give you life and give it to you abundantly, John 10:10. But those things will separate you. And And so God says, more than anything else, guard your heart. More than you guard your house, guard your heart. More than you guard your new truck, guard your heart. More than you guard your money, guard your heart. More than you guard your retirement, guard your heart. Your heart is super valuable, and it is also super powerful. Your heart has the power to change the direction of your life, so God says guard it at all cost. Allow me to illustrate. Have you ever felt like not getting out of bed in the morning? And maybe you felt that way, not just because you're tired, but maybe you felt that way because you're so down. Life has been tough. Maybe you felt that way because you just are so depressed, you just want to stay in bed all day. Why do you feel that way? Because of what's in your heart. Maybe you just have lost someone that you dearly loved and dearly treasured, and you feel like you could just stay in bed forever. Feelings are incredibly powerful. Feelings are so powerful that they take you places. Which leads to point number two. An unguarded heart will lead you astray. An unguarded heart, mark it down. If you're not guarding your heart at all costs, you need to understand it will lead you astray. And so Solomon says in verse 23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for it flows from the spring of life. Or excuse me, from it flow the springs of life. Put another way, what goes into your heart will come out. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 15, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and slanders. In other words, watch very carefully what you watch on TV. Watch very carefully what you look at on the internet. Watch very carefully what you look at on your phone. Pay close attention to the messages you listen to on the radio. Pay close attention to the messages that you're getting from your friends, that you're getting from your school, that you're getting from your work, and be very careful what you read. I know several college students that have made giant mistakes, and literally have messed themselves up by what they've decided to read. I was with one of them yesterday, decided that he was going to begin reading about the occult. And next thing he knew, he was having more mental problems, more stress, more anxiety in his life than he knew what to do with. Because what goes in will come out. It'll come out of your mouth, it'll come out in your attitudes, and it'll come out in your actions. And you need to understand that those shows you watch are taking you somewhere. Those friends that you're hanging out with, they're taking you somewhere. And if you're not careful, you're going to end up where you never wanted to be. The Apostle Paul, in my estimation, also one of the smartest and wisest men who's ever been on this planet, said this, do not be deceived, bad company corrupts good morals. Do not be deceived, bad company corrupts good morals. No, Chris, I've got it all under control. Oh, so what you're telling me is Solomon and Paul, the two wisest dudes that ever walked on the planet, are wrong? What you're telling me is that God doesn't understand your situation and He's wrong? You're telling me that God doesn't get it? Friend, you better guard your heart or you're going to end up where you never wanted to be. This is one of my favorite sayings, and I do not remember where I got this, but I love it because I've rarely read anything more true than this. Sin will always take you where you never wanted to go and cost you way more than you ever dreamed you'd have to pay. Sin will always take you where you never wanted to go and cost you way more than you ever dreamed you would have to pay. So let me throw out something to you today. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe you're wrong about the people you're hanging out with. Maybe you're wrong about the stuff you're watching on TV. Maybe you're wrong about the people you're listening to and about the things that you're engaging your mind in that are going to eventually take root in your heart. Could it be possible that you're wrong and God might be right? Listen to why Woody Allen got divorced. His wife divorced him because she discovered naked pictures of her daughter in his possession. He was having an affair with his stepdaughter, and when he got caught, this is what he said: "The heart wants what it wants. The heart, what can I tell you? The heart wants what it wants." You know what the heart wants? What you feed it. That's what the heart wants. The heart wants whatever you and I decide to feed it. Which leads us to our last point this morning. Don't just follow your heart, inform your heart. Don't just follow your heart, inform your heart. Solomon goes on, verse 23, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away the deceitful mouth. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. And put the devious speech far from you. And let your eyes look directly ahead. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. And let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. And watch the path of your feet. Be careful, little feet, where you go, and all your ways will be established," God says, "but do not turn to the right nor the left. Turn your foot from evil." And so listen to how Solomon tells his son to guard his heart. He tells him to stay away from all devious, deceitful, and perverse speech. These things slowly, that's a slow fade to be sure, but they slowly darken your heart. Solomon also tells him to make sure that he's not looking at things he shouldn't be looking at, to be careful that he's not entertained by the sinful things of this world. These things will take him where he never wanted to go. And he will begin to ask himself, "Why am I thinking this way? Why am I feeling this way?" Because it's what you've been feeding your heart. And then Solomon tells his son to watch very carefully where he goes and who he goes with. He says, if you see something sinful, turn your foot from that evil. Stay away from it. Pay attention and keep your heart informed. And your heart, the Bible says, will serve you well. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who trusts in the Lord, he who informs his heart according to the wisdom of God, the Bible says, will prosper. And then Paul says this in closing in Romans 6:14. "For sin shall not master over you. It shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under God's grace. You see, with the law, there was no power to keep you from sinning because all the law could do is point out your sin. But now you're under the grace of God. The grace of God is the controlling power and the controlling influence in your life. And so Paul is saying, feed the Spirit of God that lives in you and watch the grace of God begin to take over and give you victory where you could not for your life gain victory before." Why? Because Paul tells us in Romans 6 that grace overpowers sin every time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we need it now more than ever. We live in a world that teaches and preaches so many crazy things that literally there's no right or wrong. Nothing's true or false anymore. It just depends on how I feel. And Lord, I can't think of a worse way to live life than by my feelings or by my emotions. I can't think of anything that would lead me astray faster. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words of wisdom from your heart to ours. Maybe you're here today, and with every head bowed and every eye closed, you would just like to say a prayer like this with me this morning. Lord, forgive me for some of the things I look at. Lord, forgive me for some of the things I listen to. Forgive me for some of the things that I plant in my heart. Forgive me for the things that I've been engaging my heart in. Help me to learn to consider, to calculate all the evidence that Paul gives in Romans, the whole book of Romans. Help me to consider all the evidence and learn to consider myself dead to sin and alive to God. Help me to quit presenting my mind and my heart to sin and start presenting them to righteousness so that sin will no longer reign or be the ruling power in my life. And help me to learn to rely on your grace as the ruling power in my life so that I can begin to get victory in the Christian life. And Lord, help me to understand these truths that Paul presents, these amazing, life-giving, healthy for the body truths that Paul gives in Romans 6 and Solomon gives in Proverbs 4 and David gives in Psalm 119. And Lord, help me not just to follow my heart. Help me to inform my heart with your word every day, because I get blasted every day with all kinds of other ideas from this world that I live in. And so, Lord, if I've never understood before the importance of being in your word, help me to go home, read, meditate on some Psalm 119, and be able to understand like never before the importance of having your truth, to look at it, to listen to it, to meditate on it, so that it will take root in my heart, because your grace is more powerful than any sin. And when I begin to allow the truth of God to take root in my heart, it will at the same time begin to uproot the sin in my heart, the unrighteousness in my heart. So, Father, that's my prayer today, that I would begin to plant righteousness and truth in my heart, so that sin no longer reigns, but literally the Holy Spirit and the truth of God reign in my heart, so that I may have victory in this life and I may live for your glory. And I pray all these things in my Lord and Savior's name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Matt, you lead us, please, sir, in our last song.